Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Elise Bennett is here. She's back with us now and just about ready to start her, to wrap up her 12th year as a member of our Brain Trust, a founding original member of our Brain Trust. Anybody who joined us prior to 99, in the late 97 and 98 term, I'm calling them founding members, and Elise fits that bill. She was joined us in August of 1998 for the first time. She's deposited lots and lots of valuable information for us over the years, and she's an author. She's a marketing expert, and her newest book is called Stop Pushing Me Around. It's all about introverts, and she's our good friend. Elise Bennett, welcome back, and happy anniversary, baby.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back. Thanks for 12 great years.
Yeah, it's been fun. I've gotten okay at this. Actually,
you're good at it. We've enjoyed having you, and we appreciate your steadfast support of all the things that we do. And of course, we know how you feel about small business owners. Speaking of which, Elise, I was going off on a little rant there before you got here in the previous segment about what I've been telling my audience since 1997, and that's that Walmart has to have hundreds of millions of customers to be successful, but small business owners don't have to conquer the world. We can have listen, I used to make a living with 5 customers.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
And I mean, you know, the average small business probably doesn't have over, if you average them all together, probably wouldn't have over 150 customers average, maybe less than that.
Right, and, you know, even when some of my clients ask me about, you know, should I buy this mailing list with 5,000 names on it, I feel like, no, that's way too much. You don't need that many. You just need the top 100.
Well, I agree with your premise, but here's the thing. What I said earlier was if what I said is correct, and yes, you know, if I said it is correct, Elise, then it's worth the time and the resources to find what you call your ideal customer. It's worth the time to do that. So what I'm saying is okay, wait a minute. Talk to me about those 5,000 people. Is that the list of 5,000 that's from which I will be most likely? If I'm buying a list, is that the best list for my profile? Ooh. What do you think?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, I am more likely to advise someone to cherry pick names from a different kind of list.
Yeah.
That will give them more information about the companies rather than, you know, name and address and email address.
I see. But some of these lists have pretty good profiling capability. I mean, they, yes, they know how they are. They know what they like to buy and that kind of thing. So if you're trying to so I guess what I'm getting at, we're saying the same thing. You're talking about micro-marketing, and I'm talking about macro-marketing. And I still think that there's some value in macro-marketing, in broadcasting, so to speak. Obviously, I'm on the radio. I think there's benefit in that. But find the radio station. Find the program that speaks to the audience that you want.
Absolutely.
And so that's what you got to do. That's my point about taking a little more time to be a little more discerning of how you direct your message,
mm-hmm,
and who you direct it to.
I would agree with that. And actually, one of my clients posted something from one of the lists that she's on where her type of clients were basically talking about how they like to be marketed to.
Right.
And the subject that came up was cold calling. And a lot of these people said, cold calling is a sign of desperation. If anyone cold calls me, then I figure they must not be very good at what they do.
Right.
And I can see that point, and I do feel like
I agree with that.
I agree to a certain extent.
And as someone who spent a lot of time decades ago cold calling when you could actually get away with it, mm-hmm, I think now it's passé.
I wouldn't go that far. I think that if you target your prospects carefully and well and find the exact people who do, in fact, have a need for your services or products,
right,
and call them with a personalized approach and follow up with email and snail mail and
right,
all sorts of other tools, then that phone call can add something very valuable to the conversation.
Right. Well, cold calling, when I think of cold calling, and maybe this does date me, I guess. When I think of cold calling, I think of walking up, knocking on the door and saying, "Hi, I'm Jim. How do you like me so far?"
Right.
You know, that's the old-fashioned cold calling. You're talking about a more sophisticated way of doing it.
I'm talking, yes, I am, but I'm also referring to a reference where they're talking about people just calling them on the phone.
Right.
Out of the blue.
Yeah, no, I don't take calls like that.
It's so interesting.
Most people don't. Not anymore.
It's true. And so the other technique is to reach out via email first.
Or find a way to meet me. Put yourself. This keeps coming back to what I said a minute ago, Elise.
Yeah.
Take the time and the trouble and the resources to identify who's your best profile, and then take the time and the resources and the energy to go where they are, to meet them in the right place. That's what I do right now in my business.
I am totally with you there. I mean, I do think that the in-person networking is the, hands down, the most effective marketing tool. But not everyone can do it. Not everyone can find the place where the prospects are going. Not everyone can afford to go there.
Why not? What do they got? I completely disagree with that, Elise.
I have so many clients who, you know, are stay-at-home mother, not stay-at-home mothers. They're mothers and they're doing their work part-time.
Do they have any customers at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Ask those customers.
Mm-hmm.
Who are your friends? I mean, that's how you do it. You build program. If I was in the restaurant business, you know, restaurant people think they don't have time to do this either. But guess what? You got people coming in your door. Ask them.
But you know what's interesting about that? I think that's fine. But a lot of people, because of the way we can work virtually now, are marketing across the country. Right? They don't have to market locally if their prospects are not local.
It depends on what kind of industry they're in.
Mm-hmm. And I'm talking mostly about my clients in creative services.
Okay, so you're talking about people who are not tied to a neighborhood.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. But of course on this show we have to talk about all of them.
Yes, we do.
Your people and my peeps.
Yes.
Elise, tell us how we can find you online.
www.marketing-mentor.com.
Because you're not tied to a neighborhood.
I'm not. I'm on the web, on the World Wide Web. And the blog, actually, which is getting a lot of traffic lately, is www.marketingmixblog.com.
And your book on introverts is still available. Stop Pushing Me Around.
That's right. And the one I'm working on at the moment and finishing up is called The Creative Professional's Guide to Money.
It's about time you got busy and wrote another book.
Right.
Marketing-mentor.com. And Elise Bennett and I will be right back. Little Joe Cocker in the background taking us out. And we come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about profiling. It's okay to profile your customers. Profiling is good when it comes to customers. 20 after. Stay with us. Here's that wild and crazy Englishman, Mad Dog, actually, I think is what he calls himself. Joe Cocker bringing us back 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. You ever see this guy in performing? He's pretty crazy. Good music. But good. If you like rock and roll, you like Joe Cocker. I'm Jim Blassingame. I like rock and roll, and I like Elise Bennett, too. And Elise is still with us and a great member of our Brain Trust, an original member. By the way, folks, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out. Don't forget to take the poll question, which we always have a different one up every week. Check that. When you click on your answer, you'll be able to see how the poll's going so far. So check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of other things. The newsletter, please subscribe to that. We'll send that to you every Sunday afternoon. The blog is there. The Brain Trust is there. The articles, archives. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes. We got something you can do anywhere in the middle there. And including the body of work that Elise Bennett has deposited with us over the years. And Elise's website is marketing-mentor.com, right, Elise?
That's right.
So check it out. Her books are all there. Elise and I are having a little bit of a debate, little argument here, maybe almost an argument, about this issue of profiling your customers. I say, Elise, that it's worth the time and the effort to go through. If you only have to have, If you're in the dry cleaning business, how many customers can you actually serve in a week? You know what that is. At least you can come up with that for your capacity. You know what the capacity of your equipment is, what the capacity of your building and your employees are. What does it take? If you have a restaurant, you know how many people you can seat. If you have a boutique shop, you know how much inventory you're trying to sell in a year or in a month. So if you've got some people who love you, take the time to find more people like that. And you can do that. You can spend a little money. You can spend not a lot of money. I think you can do that, no matter what business you're in.
I don't entirely agree with you, and okay. I want to get to that part of it. But what you're saying right now triggers another thought,
uh-oh,
which is related to this worksheet that I was telling you about, which I would like to offer to your listeners.
You told me, but you didn't tell the audience. What's
I know,
about
I'm
it?
Telling them right now.
All right.
That it's a worksheet called Can You Identify Your Ideal Client in a Lineup? And the idea is...
Well, number three, please step forward and take your hat off.
And the idea is that your best customers tend to choose you for similar reasons, and they express those reasons by saying certain things.
Ah.
And if you can learn to recognize what those things are that they say,
yeah,
then you can identify your best customers and know who to pursue more proactively than the other.
I completely agree.
Good.
And so that's in the workshop? The worksheet helps you with that?
Yes.
Okay. And is that free?
Yes.
Wow. We like free things.
Yes. You can
Marketing-Mentor and what?
If you send an email to toolbox,
okay,
at marketing-mentor.com.
All right, toolbox at marketing-mentor.com and ask for the free worksheet.
The ideal customer worksheet.
Ideal customer worksheet. Tell them you heard about it from her, or you heard about it on the show, and you'll send it to them.
Yes.
Thank you for that. We appreciate that.
Sure.
Folks,
please do that.
This is really important. I mean, if you're, you know, at least 43% of the people we polled recently about the recovery said, recovery? What recovery? I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, that was the largest group of respondents said, we don't know anything about a recovery. Folks, maybe it's because you're not prospecting the right way, and Elise is giving you a free tool. Please take advantage of this. Go ahead, Elise.
No, I was just going to give some examples of the types of things one could be listening for.
Yeah, okay.
And I can speak for myself to begin because I know my own business best, and I can tell you that when someone is ready to work with me, they say something like, all right, I really do need to get serious about this now.
That sounds like commitment.
Yes.
Maybe a little pain.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the questions on the worksheet involve, you know, what situations do they need to be in to be ready to work with you? Because it's one thing to have the need, and it's another thing to actually be ready to do or buy or...
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Let me tell you what I used to do. When I had my consulting business, I would have clients would say, I had lunch with so-and-so, you know him, and he asked me about working with you. And I told him I liked working with you, and I think you should give him a call, Jim. And I would say, you know what, thank you so much for doing that. I can't tell you how important it is to me and how honored I am that you would prospect for me, basically. But I need you to do me one more favor. Ask him to call me. Because here's what I found, Elise. Until that customer would pick up the phone and call me, they weren't really a prospect.
That's interesting.
Until they were willing to admit that they had a problem they needed help with.
Mm-hmm.
If I call them, then I'm selling them something. So anyway, that was an example. It's just one example, folks. All we're talking about is the interplay between you and profiling a prospect.
Yes.
Go ahead.
In that situation, what I do is say, thank you very much. What is that person's contact information? I make the initial call. I don't hound them.
Yeah.
But I lubricate that connection a little bit because they may not, I don't know, they may not really want to call. They may not be quite ready, but
right,
I can facilitate the process.
And so the point we're making here, folks, as we wrap it up, Elise, is that every industry is different. Every person is different. But we're not disagreeing about the fact that you need to, as a small business owner, you need to profile your prospects.
Yes, we agree.
You need to qualify them and find your ideal prospect. However you want to do that, folks, it's worth the time and the effort. Elise, thanks for being here. Give it toolkit.at. marketing-mentor.com for the free worksheet, right?
Toolbox
at marketing-mentor.com. Thanks, Elise. Thanks for 12 great years.
Yeah, it's been fun.
We'll see you next time. Elise Bennett, folks. She'll be back. I will be, too, after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.